Right before you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I think I'm going to read the first 4 or 5 verses, probably down to about verse 6. And then we will have prayer. And we're going to go farther than that tonight, though. Notice what it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Let's look at verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Let's go to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your tremendous word. Spirit of God, we just ask you tonight to move upon our hearts, teach us. And Lord, as you illuminate our hearts, that not only that, but you might propel us into our walk with you and glorify yourself through it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. One of the things we've noted very, very vehemently and very easily, to tell you the truth, in 1 Corinthians is that carnality always brings disharmony among believers. Isn't that something? Spirituality doesn't do that. Spirituality unites us. But disharmony has a separating capability. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if this has anything to do with it. I'm going to put a quotation marks for a moment. I may preach on this real shortly. You know, there's a question asked, is it okay for Christians to drink? By the way, it's okay to drink water. But they're talking about alcohol. The real question ought to be, should you? Can you do it to the glory of God? Seriously, can you do it for the glory of God? Have you ever known a Christian who drew closer to God because they drank beer? Interesting question, isn't it? I think of that because here we have, can we walk in the Spirit and be separated? If you're walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the same Spirit and it's united. You ever seen two horses in a hitch? You know what I'm talking about? Any of you have been at camp, you've seen the horses hooked up to the stagecoach. You've seen them hook it up to the chuck wagon on Thursday night. And when you put those harnesses on, they can be separate and they go their separate ways and they don't do anything. All they can do is eat and make manure. I mean, they can't produce. But you put those harnesses on them and put them together and they can accomplish great feats. My daddy had a set of horses. He said, you hook them up. He said, they would pull themselves till they literally died if you let them. He said, they would pull that hard. They were united. They didn't even look alike. I was a little boy. I remember seeing them. And, in fact, they almost ran over me one time. But can two Christians who are walking in the Spirit be disunited? No. It's just impossible. And we see that here over and over. And he says to them in verses 1 through 4, I couldn't speak into as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And he says, why? What is this carnality? Verse 3, he says, you're yet carnal. What's he say? Notice that colon. He's going to explain what carnality is. For whereas there is among you what? Envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And sometimes we think about spiritual Christians and yet they're divisive. Spirituality is going to be where we unite our hearts in the Lord. See? Now, that doesn't mean we're not against some things. It does not mean we don't stand for and against certain things. Don't misunderstand me. But we find here that there is this thing. Write it down. There's a problem between believers. One or both, when there is that problem, is carnal. They don't have spiritual discernment, as we looked at and saw in the previous chapter. Notice verse number 11, going back there. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the wisdom which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The spiritual man, what? He has discernment in spiritual matters. And he, with other Christians, are walking together in this discernment. Okay? And it's very interesting if we stop and think about it. Now, notice verse 5 with me for a moment. We find here that this kind of unspirituality, this kind of carnality, notice how it manifests itself. Verse 4, let me go there. It says, while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? We could put a lot of preachers' names in there. We could put a lot of Christian personalities in there, whatever it is. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? What's he saying? We as God's workers, we are insufficient of ourselves. But God is the sufficient one. We ought to be excited about Him rather than personalities. Amen? We'll be excited about the truth as opposed to who's bringing the truth and who is really doing the work in their lives. Notice verse 6. He says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. What did Paul say about himself in one point? He said, I am nothing but dung. He says, listen, we're not anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, where's your focus going to be? Is it going to be on personalities or upon the person of Jesus Christ? It's going to be on the person of Jesus Christ. You go back to John chapter 16, we find that basically what the Spirit of God is going to teach us about Him. It's going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not a matter of exalting personalities or people. Now, there's nothing wrong with honoring people, but there is something wrong when we put them above God. And sometimes we do that, oftentimes we do that in our lives as Christians. We need to recognize that God wants to use us united together. Notice verse number 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are what? Okay? And he's using Apollos in himself. Paul was a tremendous planter. Apollos was a tremendous water. Paul was kind of rude, and not rude, but crude in his statements from what he tells us. And Apollos, we find, was a polished orator. What was he telling us here? They're one. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. We'll come back to that. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry or God's building. I have some people in my life that have been very special. if it was not for those people, God used them to do some things in my life. I remember one time I preached and I named three people that was a tremendous instrument in my life. One of them was my pastor for 3 years, Dr. Tom Malone. One was a fellow that was in our school at that time, Dr. Vanneman, both of them with the Lord. And the third one was Brother Kim Blue, who pastored for many years out in Seattle, and who now was, I don't know how he's not in the grave, tell you the truth. God just keeps using him, you know. You're supposed to die after 5 years of ALS. Your good friend, what, 2 years? And here it is, it's 10 or 11 now for Brother Blue. And though he's wheelchair bound, he can't even get in out of bed by himself. He's on a feeding tube now. But with the onslaught of the internet, and he can still type, he is ministering. Did any of you ever follow him on Facebook? I know there's a few that have told me they do. He's got a blog and just blesses a lot of people. And still being very importantly used in the church he started many years ago. But these people were a tremendous blessing in my life. But really, it was God who did it. It's God who used them. It was God who put them together. So, you know, here's a cotton farmer's grandson from Alabama. I'm not sure of the occupation, but a guy out of New Jersey and a sharecropper apple picker's son from Wenatchee, Washington. And God put those three together to make some tremendous influences in my life. There's been a lot since, but God uses that. And we ought to give God the glory. Amen. We say thank you. You allowed God to do that in your life and for God to use you. But at the same time, if we begin to exalt Him and what have you, we can find ourselves in a position of carnality. We need to remember some things. By the way, notice something that's planted right in here in these verses. In verse number 8, he says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So God wants us to know something here. Though we're working together, I'm not going to get rewarded for what you do. God's going to reward me for what I do. And that's something for us to really, really keep straight in our hearts and our minds. All right? Well, let's notice verse number 9. Verse 10, notice here he says, "Now according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." But notice the admonition here, the warning. "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Interesting as we think about that. We're going to come back to that particular thought. "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So there are many materials by which we can build. Many different things. I'm going to look at a list of those in a little bit, God willing. And God tells us they're there, but God's going to make judgment upon those materials. In other words, there are things that we can do in the walk as a Christian that have eternal consequences. They're going to last, but there are things we do that won't last. Wow. You got saved about 3-4 weeks ago. Do you know how long that's for? Longer than that. It's eternal life. Is that a consequence that is temporal? Momentary? No, it's eternal. Who has part in that? Almost everybody in Open Door Baptist Church. encouragement was given, rides to get here, things that are said, love that is shown. I mean, all of those things work together. Amen? Did you feel welcome?
Yeah.
Sorry to pick on you, Knight, but you don't mind that. Yeah.
Hmm?
They pick on your head?
No, they pick on me all the time.
Oh, do they? Oh, you're talking about Doc and Dee? Oh, Doc picks on you? No, Doc's perfect. But that's something eternal, amen? It is. Now we can do things. I mean, we can, we can do things that might be fun, might be activities, but doesn't end up with any real results that are eternal. And a lot of times that has to do with our motive behind it. And so sometimes we can do things that are of value and other things that aren't. Boy, if you teach a Christian something new or something how to live or teach a young person to go in the right direction, that's something worthwhile, isn't it? I mean, it's got some everlasting connotations to it. We thank the Lord for that. So there's things we can do that have eternal consequences. There's some things that are not going to have eternal consequences. So he talks about some things are like gold. If they're put to the fire, it's going to stay. Put fire on wood, it's going to burn up, isn't it? The salvation of souls, the education of the saints. I mean, even the edification of the saints. Well, it has lasting effects. That's interesting. Amen. All right. Now, let me take you down to verse 16. He talks about the work and so forth and what we do. Where did I stop? Let me read verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now notice verse 16 and 17. There's one little interesting thought here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder why all of these and thou's in the Word of God? Ye. What does it mean? As opposed to thee. You are a thee. What?
Ye as in I, thee as in the.
Listen. You are a thee. You are a ye. Thee is singular. Ye is plural. Why did God choose to do that in 1611? Because if we would have translated today, what would we have translated? We would say, you. And would we be talking about you? Or would we be talking about you? We wouldn't know, would we? We'd have to make a guess. Perhaps an intelligent guess, but we'd have to make a guess. God took the guesswork out. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God. Now it's individual, but it's also corporate. What's a church? It's a lot of these that have become ye. What's the context we're looking at here? The context we're looking at here is within the church there has been what? Divisions. What's he trying to teach them in this whole section? He's trying to teach them that you are a group under Christ. He is the exalted one, not any of these. The-E-T-H-E-E, possibly yes. But it's God. And so we come down here, and I think there's a purposeful reason here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And he's saying to us as a church, even, if we defile that temple, him shall God destroy. God wants us to take care of each other. To remain what? Unified, not separative. Not messed up in that regard. Interesting as we look at that. You see, you and I, we are to work together. We have a place in building lives, one with another. That's very interesting to me as I look at that. Let no man, notice verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And over again, he's trying to teach us something very, very important. You and I have a place in building lives one to another. The projects of all the church. And we need to understand there's a tremendous warning to us if we start building with the wrong kind of materials. And especially if those materials are carnal. God wants us to build with spiritual things. God gives us a tremendous list of things in several places. But I'd like for you to go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, just to give us some thoughts here along this line. 2 Peter chapter number 1. let's look here. I'm going to go down to verse number 5. We could read more, but I'm going to start in verse number 5. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, he says, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Wow. So God's saying here, listen, we need to add these things. We can build these things into our lives. Virtue. That's courage or fortitude. Enable us to profess the faith before men. Hey, we're believers. We need to be willing to what? Let others know that. And know in whom we believe. And he says, add to virtue knowledge. If you and I are going to do a good job in those two areas, we need to know some things. Have some true wisdom that our faith might be increased. By the way, if you're going to have faith, you've got to believe something. Does that sound like a good idea? Think about it for a moment. If you're going to believe something, you've got to know about it, right? Yeah. How many of you would say, boy, that looks like a good chair? You know this isn't made to be a chair, right? Number one, if I sat on this, I just will sit on the floor. It's not very high. If I sat on it like that, it's not going to be very comfortable. And knowing what it's made out of, after a while, this thing might crumple. But my knowledge says, hey, this here chair can hold me. And as I add to that knowledge, I can discover other things that can hold me. You say, well, everybody knows that. Well, yeah, we learn these things. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. So we have to hear some things. We've got to know some things in order to believe them. Okay? So God wants us to what? Add to it knowledge. And he goes on and he says, and to knowledge temperance. Basically, a limited use of all earthly enjoyments. You know, keeping our senses under proper restraints. Listen, I have this sometimes almost uncontrollable urge to eat. Not like I used to. And I have two favorite things to eat. Ice cream and chocolate. And when you mix them together, the only thing that makes it better is put a few nuts on there. Now, some of you might disagree with that. A little caramel. Kurt's back here going, huh. Dairy Queen, here we come. My kids grew up thinking that Dairy Queen was going to be in heaven. There's better ice cream, I believe. Anyways, is it good for me to eat ice cream all the time? No. When Dina married her daddy, he ate 5 bowls of ice cream every day. He told me one of them was a big, big, not soup bowl, but a platter-like bowl. 5 times a day. I was never that bad. He's the president of alcohol of Ice Cream Anonymous. I could be vice president. Okay? But if Danny would have kept doing that all of his life, we wouldn't have him. He's down to 1 a day, isn't he? Sometimes 2. Are you as bad? Occasionally. Okay. We have to control those things, right? And that's a homely illustration, but I think you get what I mean there. And so we have to have temperance. To temperance, patience. Oh my goodness. You know, one guy, he says, I have patience. You know, I want it. I want it right now. I can wait for 3 seconds. You know, listen, in God's work, you have to have patience. Matter of fact, God said to preach with long suffering. A word we could use is patience. There's a reason long suffering is used there. But it's allowing us to what? Persevere through things. To patience, godliness. If we're not willing to wait, by the way, we have to wait upon God. We're not going to find that godly kind of living. To godliness, he says, brotherly kindness. We're not going to really love our brother until we really fall in love with God. Did you notice the commandments are in a certain order? The first 4 or 5, if you, however you want to look at it, are to God, aren't they? And the last are to man. I think there's a reason for the order. And when Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? He said to love who? God. And then he said, love our fellow man, right? Love our neighbor. Okay? And so we have these things, charity. And so we find these building blocks that you and I can have in our lives. So there's these personal things that we need in our lives. What does God want you and I to do? He wants you and I to be spiritual. God wants us to listen to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to teach us. He never operates outside of the realm of truth. Understand that. Today, in a lot of what we call Christianity, they talk about the moving of the Spirit, and they're talking about going in directions the Word of God does not approve of. And it's not biblical. He always operates in the truth. Do you know who authored the Word of God? The Bible teaches us it was the Spirit of God who moved upon the hearts of holy men. Okay? and He's the true author of it. And so through Him, He gives us the Word. He's the one that teaches us as a Word, and He wants us to operate in its realm. And so you and I, as we have spiritual lives, are going to allow the Word of God to be our boss, so to speak. Julia, if you do that and I do that, we're going to be walking arm in arm. And we're going to be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ together, because the Spirit of God always causes us to lift Him up. We might thank God for some people in our lives, but they're not the ones that did that. God just used them, and we recognize that. This church had a real problem, and they were disorganized and not unified because they were lifting up personalities, and God says they were carnal. We as Baptists sometimes really can find ourselves in a position of carnality, thinking we're spiritual, when we start exalting people rather than the Lord. We need to be very careful. I think that's why John ended his gospel, or his epistle, and said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Stay in the love of God." Father, tonight we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for this great chapter. And Lord, that we might have that proper understanding, that kind of unity in the Spirit. Lord, how gracious, wondrous You are to us. Thank You for pulling us together. We pray You might bless and work in every heart and life, and that we might certainly be laborers together for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we thank You for those that You allow us to have an impact together for, and that You might be exalted in their hearts and minds. And we give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.